So we ended off last week with a question, which was with the Kavah Chomer. How to understand the Kavah Chomer. Let me just review the last point. We basically said like this, that the Torah, with regard to Tumas Meis, the Torah did something different, really, from the regular principles of Tumah V'Tahara. Namely, that in Tumas Meis, so the Ava Tumah, it's not what you think, really, at first blush. You know, the Ava Tumah in Tumas Meis is not really the mace. And that's why Chazal referred to Rashi and the Rashbam and many, many numerous Rishonim. I found during the week that it's also a Medrash Agada. So it means the Tanoim already referred to the mace as Avi Avos HaToma. It's a different category. So the Avatoma really is the person who encounters the mace. So now you simply have to define what is an encounter. So the Torah borrowed one definition of encounter, borrowed from the principle of Tumah V'Tahara, namely Maga. And then, why Maga? Because that's universal. That's universal transference of Tumah, Maga. And then, borrowed also... And then defined an encounter as from the human domain. So that's OL. Yeah. But the question is, what about Masa? So Masa comes in because of a Kavah Chomer from Nevela. But how does it work? So I want to amend what I said at the end of last week. I mean, I did it very quickly, but in order to answer the question of how the Kavah Chomer works, we have to take a look at something else with regard to Tumas Meis. So hold the question, and we'll get to it. Okay, is everybody with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You see, before we go into the Kavah Chomer, we have to turn to another problem, which I think I mentioned in passing, but if I didn't, then let me mention it now, in focus. And that is that Tumas Meis is really an anomaly in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. It's really strange, and it's really an anomaly for a number of other reasons also, okay? Because you have a ribui of avos in Tumas Meis, Masha'ena came with regard to any other area in Tumah. You have nine, there are nine avos in Tumas Meis, and like no other area. I'll explain what they are in a minute. But that's one anomaly. Then you have another anomaly is that as the Tumah is transferred in Meis, there are quite a number of instances where it's transferred and it does not weaken. And Masha'en Kain in other areas as well. Okay? Masha'ena Ken in other areas of Tumah. So for example, in Nevela, the Ava Tumah is the Nevela Atzma, the animal, the carcass of the animal. The human being who touches the carcass of the animal or moves it is now, he's not an Ava Tumah, he's a Rishon. So a Rishon is a derivation. It's a lesser stage of Tumah, lesser step. It's like I would say that Tumah in general is halechas upalchesas. Tumah, when it goes, it weakens, it diminishes. So from the source to the next contact, in each stage of those contacts, generally speaking, it weakens. There is what appears to be an exception with regard to Zav Zava Nidan Yoledes, which where the Mishkav and the Moshav, the chair that he sits on, itself is an Ava Tumah, but that you have to go into that area itself. It's not because of Negiya. It's not because he touched the chair, but it's because of a unique phenomenon of, there's an institution, a unique phenomenon of Mishkav and Moshav. That has to be explained, which is not our area right now. But I'm just saying, but in general, if you have Tumah and then A touches B, so B becomes Tameh, but to a lesser degree. He's not an Av, he's a Rishon. Then you have Rishon goes to Sheni. I mean, and there's limitations, you know, like what can be a Sheni, what can be a Rishon, etc., etc. But in Mace, it doesn't go like that. In Mace, you can have a chain, which is incredible. I'll show it to you in a minute. In Mace, you can have a chain which goes a number of steps and doesn't lose a thing. There's no diminishment whatsoever. And that's very strange. It bears explanation.
Factually, isn't there some, because at a certain point, like it, because it's the fifth, it will start to dissipate?
Well, slowly. Well, I'll tell you. Let's go through it. Okay. So it bears explanation. What's going on over here? So the best, the Rambam himself explains it. It's in Hilchos Tumas Meis, but it's in the Parashat Mishnah in the introduction to Seder Taharos. Beautiful, you know, I told you last time. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful explanation. It has a whole overview of the whole world of Tumas Tahara. But he goes through there, and one of the paragraphs he goes through to Tumas Meis. So he says as follows. It might be helpful to write it down. If I was teaching in a classroom, I definitely would use the blackboard for this. So it pays to write it down, because you lose a little track. I mean, you know, but here they are. Okay, there are nine of those. Okay, so the first one is the Meis himself. The body. Okay, the corpse. That's one. Two is a kever, okay, is the grave. So there's a definition for what a grave means. We'll leave it alone for now, but whatever it is, that's number two. It has to have the mace in it in order to be a kever. So if the body is all decomposed, it's no longer a kever anymore. But with regard to tumah, I mean. But completely decomposed. But if the mace is there, so then there's kever as number two. Three is the Adam HaNitma, okay, which means the person who encountered the mace, whether it's the Maga, the Masa, or the Olo, he as well is an Avatuma. Now, right away, that's strange. You know, unless you have the Svara that we said last week, so that's strange, because already you now have a step from the mace to the Adam. And you would expect that there should be a diminishment. But there isn't. But that's okay, because our svara is that really the Adam HaNitma is really the Avatuma. And the mace, Atzma, is the Avi Avos. Okay, why the Rambam didn't do it that way, we'll hopefully be able to answer. We'll see. Okay, but so far, so good.
And is this true if the guy touched the kever, same thing?
Yeah, other than Nidma, doesn't matter. Yeah.
But why are you saying there's no diminishing? Like if that person touches somebody else, that person is always Tomei Tumah Seraph.
Well, so one second.
What do you mean that the mace is not Tomei Tumah Shiva?
What does that mean?
Exactly. Like, what do you mean there's no diminishment? There's diminishment. The mace is whatever, and the other is Tomei Tumah Shiva. That's diminished because the
knocking
is if a person touches the
mason. And they're very nice, but they're both avos atoma. I said, forget about the mace himself because he's an avos atoma. Forget about the mace. Just let me go on. You'll see. One second.
Okay.
All right. Number four. Kelim hanogim ba'adam. Okay? Which means there's the corpse. I came into contact with the corpse. And then I touch a kli. Okay, then I touch a metal cup. So the cup is an avatuma. Cup is an avatuma. Okay?
Is even after you separate from the mace?
It's not, the cup never saw the mace. I go to the county morgue. I touch a mace, I come home, and I pick up a metal cup that I have. The metal cup that I picked up is an avatoma. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Next. The fifth one. Kelim hanogim b'mace. Okay, so that's the jacket that he's wearing. The corpse is wearing a jacket, and then afterwards they take off the jacket to, you know, to do the tara, to bury him, whatever. The jacket is an avatoma. The jacket itself is an avatoma. Okay? That's five. Six. Atoma, which means, let's go through the chain here. The mace, to the kli, to me. All three of us are Avos Hatoma. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Seven. Kelim shenogu ba'adam hanogeya bekelim hanogim b'meis. Okay? From the last case that I just told you, I then go ahead and touch other kelim. So here's the scenario. The mace has a jacket. I touch the jacket. Then I go home and pick up a metal cup. The metal cup is an avatoma. The chain now is fourfold. The mace, to the jacket, to the person, to the cup. They're all avosatoma. The eighth one. Kalim shenagu v'kalim shenagu b'mace. So the jacket touched the mace, and then that jacket touched another jacket. That second jacket is an avatoma. And then the ninth is the ohel itself. The ohel that's over the mace. And the Rambam points out in the Perasha Mishnah, he says that really, qualitatively, this is no different from Kelim Hanogim b'meis. But he mentions it as a separate category because of three particulars having to do with the material of Or, Beged, and Sock, which is not our area right now. But in other words, conceptually speaking, it's really qualitatively the same thing as Kelim Hanogim b'meis.
Meaning if a person touches the ohel and then touches a kli, that kli would be tameh.
That's correct. Okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, I think this is difficult. This is certainly unlike any other area in Tumah. Especially Step Zion, if you're writing them down. Especially Zion. That's unbelievable.
Can you say Zion one more time?
Yeah. Kelim shenagu ba'adam hanogeya v'kelim shenagu b'meis.
In English?
I'll do it forwards instead of backwards. The mace, the jacket of the mace touched me, and I touched the metal cup. So the metal cup that I touched is an avatoma.
Okay, got it.
I mean, that's incredible. Okay, four stages, and there's really no diminishment. That's why, Aaron, you understand? That's what I mean when I say there's no diminishment from the toma.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you can't compare an animate thing, a human being, and a... There's no such thing as Tumah Shiva, you know, with regard to Kalim altogether.
What do you mean?
If I don't, and certainly not with regard to the mace. But it was, so far as the level of Avatoma, it's an amazing thing. It just keeps on going. It's like, you know...
Right. I mean, also, just a question is, it's funny why a person who touches a person...
That's not an Avatoma.
Right. That's like a funny thing that's, you know...
Oh, you're right. It is funny. There are two funny ones. There are two strange ones, I should say. But I'll point out right now, there are two strange cases. One is, what about Adam, Adam Anogeya be'Adam, Shenaga be'Meis? That's one. But then there's another one, there's another one that's also strange, which is, why is it that it's not an Avatoma if you have the following? The mace touches a kli, Kli touches a Kli, the Kli touches an Adam. That's not covered. That's not an Avatoma. Yeah. Got it?
Yeah.
Why is that hard?
Because if you flip the last two, it is.
Well, if you're going by steps, you know, like, well, why, what makes that different? If you flip the last two, that is an Avatoma, right? If you notice like this, if you have mace to Kli to Adam to Kli, they're all Avos. If you have mace to Kli to Adam, the last one's not an Av. Why not?
What would they be Kalim and Allah?
It would be two Kalim and Allah. What do you mean?
No, I'm saying the same question would apply to Kli, Kalim and Allah, meaning all the other Kli and Allah cases.
Right. It's funny, right? Why two Kalim? Exactly. It's a good point also. What about three Kalim and Allah?
Right. I mean, you have one case where you can go four, only in one specific way. That's the real question: is why is there one case where you can transmit four down?
Right. That's why I focused on Zion. Talking about Zion.
Right. That's really one question. The other question is why, in the case of two, is it a case of two? Other than them, they don't even get that case.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Adam's argument is not such a problem. I mean, you could work out the answer right now. But let me do it, I think, in one fell swoop, in one swift motion, okay? So what I want to say, see, how do you understand the structure of it? The whole thing is just amazingly strange. Okay?
Yeah.
So I think that the idea is like this. And I realize I'm going to say it maybe a little descriptively, so maybe you could help me out, you know, like in terms of sharpening it up a little bit. But what I want to say basically is that the Torah set up the whole institution, the whole phenomenon of Tumas Meis over here with a paradigm in mind. And the paradigm in mind is like this. I'll say it loosely first. I'll sharpen it up a little bit, and then maybe you can help me out. That is as follows. There's an assumption over here, and that is that we look at a person functionally, you know, a human being as being a person and his kelim. In other words, kelim are an extension of the person. Okay, kelim are an extension of the person, which is why, before I go any further, you could have something which is a base kibbol, but it won't be a kli unless it was fashioned. You understand what I mean? In other words, if you have something that's able to hold water. But it's formed like that in nature, and it's not. It's just it naturally occurs, and it wasn't formed, made like that, and used like that. So it doesn't only have to be formed. You could, if you use it as a base keyboard, it also becomes a clay. But if it naturally occurs that there's a base keyboard, that's not a clay. That's not a clay. I remember as a kid, when I was in elementary school, I drove my parents crazy with a particular thing that, you learned the Mishnayos and Sukkah, so the Mishnayos and Sukkah say that, one of the psulim for Schach is that if it's Mekabel Tumah. So a Kli is Mekabel Tumah. Kli is Mekabel Tumah. So in my parents' house for Sukkah, they used to use bamboo for schach. Now bamboo is an interesting creature. Bamboo, it's a plant, and it basically it grows as a stalk, and it grows in sections. So like there's these like sort of it's like a spine, you know, like there's these knots, you know, like a ring. In the bamboo, I mean, I'm sure you've all seen bamboo, so you can imagine what I'm talking about. There's these rings in the bamboo, and in between the ring goes through the entire width of the bamboo stalk, the shoot. But in between the rings, let's say in between the rings could be 6, 7, 8, 10 inches, whatever it is, that is hollow. In between the rings, it's hollow. So, okay, bamboo grows in the ground. It's pliant. I mean, it's a plant. It's green. When you cut it, it hardens, and it turns like a brown. And if you leave it up on your sukkah, so the sun dries it out, and it cracks. So there could be cracks in going the length of the of each of those sections of the bamboo, little cracks. Now, if there's a crack on one side, only one crack, so then that thing can now hold water. You follow? Because it's because it's hollow. There's a crack on one side. You can actually put water in it.
Okay.
So I remember driving past us. So now, you know, we have to remedy the situation because it's a clay, you know, like, so the only way to do it is to crack the other side so it can't hold water anymore. Now, fortunately, somebody pointed out to me before I undertook this major project, you know, that it's not a clay, because the base keyboard is a clay only if it's fashioned or used for that purpose.
Now, how does that show that a clay is an extension of a person? That just shows that...
It doesn't show. I'm just saying it's consistent with the idea. Just 1 second, slowly. Okay? Just so slowly. In other words, it's something fashioned... By a person, or you know, or for use of a person. But just let me just finish the idea.
Okay.
So what I want to say is like this: it's an enhancement. It's like a it's an accoutrement of the person. There's a paradigm of kli with regard to this issue. I want to say. Okay, there's a specific type of kli in mind as a paradigm, and that is clothing. The godim are kelim, and it means, in other words, like this. What I'm suggesting is that the paradigm with regard to Tumas Meis, remember, let's go back a step. Remember, the paradigm with regard to Tumas Meis is that I encounter a Meis. Now, we're both people. We both belong to the classification of human beings. So what I want to say now is that swept into the phenomenon of Tumas Meis is the idea of the person, and insofar as a person exists, insofar as a person, you know, lives his life, so that includes, the person includes his begadim. Okay? And you see, by the way, I mean, I'll point out this, what I'm about to say is a little bit of a, you know, stretch, a little bit of a drush, not a stretch, a little bit of a drush, I mean, but not so much. I mean, you see that from Bereishis, Per Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made clothing for Adam and Chava. When did that take place? When was it Vayasla and Kostnas or Vayal Bishem? When did it happen? So it happened on Yom HaShishi in the afternoon. It didn't happen after Yom HaShabbos. It didn't have to happen after Yom HaShvi. It happened before the Shabbos. So what does it mean? It means that it's part, in a certain sense, it's part of the creature of man. That in this life, you know, in the Gan Eden life, I mean, you know, in the ideal form. So then, you know, Vayu Arumin. But the clothing is really part of human existence. It's an extension of the person, okay? Now, what I want to say is, again, before you jump, I mean, that's a paradigm. There's basically the mace, and then there's the me, the encounterer, you see? But each of us have accoutrements insofar as human existence is concerned, and that's begadim. But begadim belongs to begadim in Tumah V'Tahara belongs. It's not a separate thing. It belongs to a classification of kelim. Belongs to a classification of kelim. So what I'm suggesting is that kelim comes into the picture as a class, as a categorization of begadim. Okay. Let me stop for a second before I apply it, and let me hear you. What do you want to say? Yeah.
So just, why is this different than other Ohi who have the specific idea of a Gadim? Like if a guy becomes Tamei, so the clothing he's wearing at the time he becomes Tamei are themselves Tamei. Like how does, like what is the idea of Kalim? I understand it by the Gadim, because that's, you know, part of the person.
Where do you have an idea of Beged per se?
Nosei Nevela.
Nevela?
You know, I mean, the person is Nosei, he's in the Tamei Begadim, any Kalim is in contact with.
But it's not a beged insofar as it's a beged, it's beged as far as a clay.
Insofar as it's in contact with him at the time he becomes Tamei. It's not as a separate phenomenon. Here we're saying it's a separate institution.
Right.
And the guy goes in, touches the mace, walks out, now touches the beged.
You're saying something else. You're saying that in other words, that why don't you say that he has to be wearing it?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it's It's a good question. I think that's what I said. I could give you a description here. I give you a description of what I think it is, but why wasn't it formulated differently? And the veil is not you have no kasher from anything else, really. Because it's not a kasher from the veil. You're asking why it wasn't formulated in a different way. There's no such thing in Tumah V'Tahara as a beged that you're wearing versus a beged that you touch later on.
When a person is serving tumos, the person's clothing, meaning that which the kingdom, she relates to Bishah, at the time he becomes tamei, himself becomes tamei. That seems like a general, normal way that.
Tell me where halacha. I mean, I have to point to a halacha, but tell me which phenomenon you're talking about.
So the guy's nursing the veil, right? So then, if afterwards he touches a beged, that beged is not tamei, right?
Right. That beggar, the beggar that he touches afterwards.
Afterwards, a day later.
Because he's only. That's correct.
But if he's wearing begadim while he's being noseh in the vela, so then those begadim become tamei.
And the begadim have nothing to do with the nesiyah.
Correct. He's wearing a sock and he's moving the nevela with his hand or something like that.
Where's that halacha?
Shalos etemah.
Is Shara was a two? I don't think so.
Halacha Aleph.
Which one?
Halacha Aleph.
Halacha Aleph.
From Shara was a
two. Anavela. Av me'ar. Okay. Anavela. Av me'ar. Adam. The Kelim. The Maga. Klichas ba'avir, and matani sa'adim b'matzel l'tani b'gadim kimerka v'azav. Oh, kimerka v'azav. Oh, I see what you're saying. Why are you like Merkav?
Okay, but
he just put it. I see. I'll tell you why I didn't think that this was a kasha. I mean, my mind didn't go to this. Not that I thought about it and answered it. I didn't think about it. Was because you see from the let's talk it out, okay? You see from the formulation of the halacha over here that it's halacha in the nesiyah. Take a look. It's like this. Kesad. Adam shenaga benevela nitma v'arei rishon l'toma v'inaga bekelim afilu b'shas magal benevela harayim taorin. Chol kelim sha'olach taorin. Fishu Vlad is Vlad Toma, the ain't Vlad Matana Kalim. Okay? So ain't Vlad Matana Kalim. So he's touching the Nevela, the clothing that he's wearing while he's touching is completely Tahara.
Right.
Okay. Avala no says Nevela Matana Kalim Bashas Nasiyaso Shenemar, the no says Nivla Samicha based the Godov. The Osem begadim rishon l'toma. The aim of time of Adam v'al klichas. Okay, it's the same reason because it's v'lad l'toma. V'afil v'shach nesiyas k'mosh b'yam b'tam b'mishka b'moshav. So, yeah, one second. L'tam is Adam b'maso l'tam b'gadim k'merka v'azav. The fact that he compares it, the fact that he says it's k'merka v'azav means it's not because. Just give me a second. One second.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
I think an important halacha for this is Hilchos Parah Aduma, Parah Chamishi in the beginning.
Well, one second, are we leaving this?
It's relevant to what we're talking about Begadim.
Okay, so say it again, Parah what?
Chamishi, halacha base.
In Parah Aduma?
Yes.
Chamishi, halacha base. Kol makom shenemar b'Torah b'tumas yichabes begadav, lo baro ambeinu shabgadim ashalav dovar entvim, elam shkol begad o kli shiga. Now, that's my point. The beggar is the paradigm. That's why you measure it.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly it's good raya. I mean that's exactly my point. That's the paradigm. But one second now.
And the Rambam says by Tumas Meis, it's also that beggar is the paradigm.
Say it again.
By Tumas, I mean it's explicit in Tumas Meis that beggar is the paradigm.
In which halacha?
By Perek Hay Halacha Gemal.
paradigm of
Tumas
Meis Perik Halef of Gimel. Though it's clear that the paradigm for the Kalim Hanogim Ba'adam, for the Kalim Hanogim Ba'meis, it seems like it's a different paradigm. That's the weapon. I mean, by the clean Nogeh Ba'meis, it seems like the weapon is the paradigm, not the Begadim, but for the Nogeh Ba'adam Nogeh Ba'meis, it's the Begadim.
Did I ask you a question,
Yaakov? No, I'm pointing out what he's saying in terms of the Begadim.
Oh, right, sounds like a kasha.
Yeah, it sounds like
begadim. I'm saying in terms of the idea that begadim are the primary, when it's touching the living person, that's the end of halakha gimel.
Uminayim? Shafakiru?
Yeah, Uminayim?
Yes.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I thought you were talking about the chal cherub.
No, the chal cherub, I'm saying that seems like for the mace it's a different idea. That's not what you're saying. But in terms of the living person, at least it's a right. For the other one, I was going to ask it as a kushya after we finish this problem.
Because the Rambam, Tumas Meis Hei Gimel, saying you learn out others with time to God, then for it says the Kibasim to get from the other tree. Right? That's just saying that others with time to Kalim. But in Parah, Hei Veis, he says it only means the Shastri Bura.
No, but that's my whole. In Parah, Hei
Veis. Yeah, sorry, the first question is only the Shastri Bura. If you want the problem, it's the Shastri Bura.
Yeah, well, I should call Beged, or Kushigaba, Tamei Azeh, Beshas Chiburo, and Tamav, Harim Tameyim. Avo Acha She Yifrosh Mi Metamav, Eina Metamav, Vigil Keitz, Ano Nesu Ve Echad Beged Shom, Avo She Zekol Mashu Nesu Zeh, Harim Metamav, Eit Tum, Echein Zeh, Nau Seh, Echein Zeh, Perish Metamav, Vishal Zeh, Nau Veila, Rehi Vishin Kama Shaya. Yiga Bechli, O Beged Eina Metamav, Zeh. That's because Vlad Atuma.
That's for that show. Once
he's pierced, we're being less inhale. Yeah, but you see, that's not a kasha what you're asking, because you see that even if he was the maga, the clothing that he's wearing would not be tamayim. That's we have to go back to the issue of kemishkan azov. You see that? You understand what I'm saying?
No.
In other words. You have to understand that the reason that the begadim that he's wearing. No, Yaakov. There's two things here. You take a look at what Yaakov said from Hilchos Tumas Meis Perek Hei. So you see from the Sefer. Okay, minayin she'af hakelim anogim ba'adam shenaga ba'kelim shenitnu. How do you know? V'chibastim bigdeichem. Kol adam tamei tamashim tamei begadim. Okay, so the paradigm is beged. Okay. So it's a good question about the mace. I mean, you see, you're right. Yaakov's right that it's for the mace himself. That's a different that's a different model, different paradigm. So it's good. I think I can explain that though. That's pretty good. Okay. So but anyway, so for the pogeya, for the adamah pogeya, so the paradigm is beged, and from beged you learn out kalim. So then you're saying, so what about why don't you use as a model the case of Nevela?
Well, that's always how Tumas Begadim works. It's always B'shas when you're in contact with the Tumah.
That's not true. What do you mean?
That's what Ram says in Parah. That's the way Tumas Begadim is always the situation.
No, where does he say that in Parah?
What?
Where does he say that in Parah? The one that you just read to me. That's Tumas Nevela. Which halach in Parah?
Beis.
Again?
Beis is a big halacha. Which part?
Beginning
of Beis. Wait, hey Beis?
Yeah, beginning.
Okay. Adam Shemitma ben. It's from the beginning? Where are you?
Parah hey Beis.
Here's how my Parah hey Beis starts.
Okay.
Hare im tamein. Alo acha shegiv first in the time of Eina Matam of Gadim. Ketzad.
But you see, it's only the Shasta Gura, but not
after. Ketzad, Ketzad.
Okay.
And no says in the Vela. Echad beged sha'olav o kli she'iga bo kozma shu no says hare im tamein. Okay? All right, so that's no say in the Vela. Now go to the next one. V'chein kola oski v'para. אם נגע בבגד או בכלי בשעה שחיטה או בשעה שריפה, הרי אין תמי, אבל אחר שיפרוש ממעשה, אף פי שעדיין לא טוב, אם נגע בכלי אין המתאמל. זה שובה לתומה. That's, okay, that would be a better ראי. Hold on one second. פרס ומתאמל לא אדם לא קל שם. Hey. Yeah, there is one difference, though. There's one important difference. I mean, it's a good kasha. From Papa is a better kasha than Nosei Nevela.
Okay, I'm not sure why, but okay.
Can you say the kasha? No, because I'll tell you why. Because he says in Shavas Atumah that the begadim that he's wearing are tumeim kimishkav azov. So tumeim kimishkav azov is a different idea. That's a different idea. I alluded to it before. The Mishkav Azov is itself an avatoma, not because of negiah, it's not because of transference. It's an institution. It's a phenomenon. So if you say that a nosei that the begadim that the nosei is wearing are tameim because it's like Mishkav Azov. So somehow that's something which is unique to the phenomenon of the Nesia. But the para proves that it's not only that. In other words, the case of the para is not simply a phenomenon of Nesia. The Araya in the Vela, so you could split the Vela between Maga and Masa. Just follow along what I'm saying now, okay? In the Vela, you could split between Maga and Masa, two forms of transcendence of Tum in the Vela, Maga and Masa. In Maga, you see clearly that the clothing that the guy's wearing while he's Nogea is completely tar. So you see, it's not the phenomenon, with regard to Maga, certainly it's not the phenomenon of a person who's engaged in becoming Tame, the clothes that he's wearing while he's engaging in that practice are Tameim also, because look at Maga. But rather, Ella, what are you going to say about Masa? So you'll say that it's something unique to the process of Nesia, the characteristic of the process of carriage. So that the clothing that he's wearing, you have to work out as far. I mean, you know, the clothing that he's wearing is relevant to the idea of his transporting the tuma. Whatever the far is going to be. But, okay, fine. But then it would not be translatable to anything else because it's unique to the idea of Nesia. But from the case of Para, where Osek, you know, the one is Osek in the Yefra Para, so there it's not a question of there, it's not the. You know, it's not that there are two mechanisms and one yes and one no. I mean, that's, you know, that's it. I mean, it's simply the fact that just a second. Hold on one second. All right. The question is like this. You got. I made a claim. Let's review, okay? Now, this is a nice chavura. I mean, it's because it's as opposed to a shiur. I mean, like I said, I started off by saying, like, this I really had to work out a little bit more. But yes, a very good kasha. Let's go back. I made a claim like this. We started, before my claim, we started off with a tremendous anomaly, which I think is clearly a kushya. Why should it be, it's halachic, why should it be that the avos in Tumas Mace are they exist in their own world? I mean, there's nothing parallel like it in anywhere else in the world of Tumah V'Tahara. That you can have a chain consisting of four players where it's av to av to av to av. Av to av to av to av, right. Okay, three transmissions, four players, and each one of them is an av. Unheard of. Unheard of. You should say, in the language of the Rambam, it's Vlada Tuma, and Vlada Tuma is Holecha Supachasas. So then that was a kasha. Okay?
Right.
So I wanted to make the claim like this, that it's, you have to understand that in Tumas Mace, the Torah is positing the existence of really, essentially, two categories. There's the mace himself and his accoutrements, that's one category, and then there's the pogeya, Adam HaPogeya, with the mace, the one who encounters, the encounterer, and his accoutrements. Okay? So those are two categories, two, you know, overarching categories. And then you can subdivide each category, so you have the mace himself is one part of it, and then his accoutrements is another. Then you have the encounterer, you have the man who encounters, and then his, that's one, and then his accoutrements, that's two. Okay? You with me?
Yeah.
All right. So Yaakov is right. He pointed out, sorry, before we get to Yaakov. So I made the claim that really the paradigm for Kalim, there's a paradigm. It's Kalim, not because of Kalim per se, but there's a paradigm over here. The paradigm is Begadim, and Begadim is expanded into its classification of Kalim. I'm just parenthetically mentioning that Yaakov pointed out that you could say that's good, and David Fishman also, I mean, you could, that works with regard to the encounterer, but it doesn't work with regard to the mace, because the reason you know mace, Kalim by mace, is because of the Pasuk Chal Cherev. So it's the Cherev, which is a Kli that came into, Cherev as a Kli, it came into contact with the dead, with the body, and from Cherev you learn out everything else. So the kalim of the mace, what I call the accoutrements of the mace, doesn't stem from the begadim, stems from the idea of cherev. Not everybody dies by the sword, so it's going to be an interesting, you know, you have to work that out. But at any event, it's still, that is a kasha, that's to be dealt with. But still, the idea is that there's man and his accoutrements, wherever accoutrements come from. So in one case, the accoutrements come from the concept of his clothing. In the other is, the accoutrements come from Cherev. We'll just call it Cherev now. It has to be explained. Okay?
Right.
Okay. So you guys pointed out to me correctly. Good kasha. I thank you for it. So you pointed out to me, why should it work this way? Why should it work this way? Because you see, there is a model in Tumah V'Tahara. There is a model in Tumah V'Tahara of clothing limited to, let's say, only with regard to the encounterer anyway, right? Clothing, the paradigm of clothing, limited to the time of that, you know, that he's wearing the clothing while he's becoming Tameh. But if it's something else, if it's kalim or clothing or whatever that he touches later, it's not going to become tamei. So why didn't the Torah, if this concept of accoutrement, so why of clothing, right? So why didn't the Torah model the Tumas Mace the same way as it did in general? That was your kasha.
Right.
Because you see, by Tumas Mace, if he goes home and he picks up the metal cup, So that will become an avatoma. So that will become an avatoma that doesn't follow the, it's outside, you know, it's beyond the normal paradigm that we would expect to find with regard to accoutrement.
Right.
is clothing accoutrement. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. That was the question. That was the question.
To further that question, I mean, I think it'll help answer, but you see in the Rambam when he explains the Chol Charif, right?
Yeah.
So he says, as he said, he says, what is that, Hey Gimel?
It's okay.
In the case is really a guy holds your sword and kills a mix.
Right.
So that's the case. So you would say it's only while he's touching the kli.
Right.
But you see, that's not the case. Is if the guy touches the kli while the kli touches the mace, and then the guy touches the kli, even though he's not touching the mace, while the kli is separated from the mace, he still becomes fine.
Right.
So see, the same phenomenon. You're learning it from the case with his chiburin. But somehow, when you expand it, the chiburin is no longer necessary.
Right. Well, not. It's right.
It's not the idea anymore, even though the chiburin is broken.
Right. Right. All right. Why should that be?
Right. Yeah. And same thing with begadim. Begadim is clear that you learn out the other to begadim, but even though Rambam says kol machmor says begadim is only when he's in contact with the tumah, somehow, even though you learn shar kelim from that, this doesn't apply.
Right. Why should that be? Right.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Can I just
step back? What about Nevela B'Maga? What do you say about that?
Why that's not the time to go to?
Yeah.
It seems like the Gavra's not involved by Maga.
That's exactly. In other words, you see, that's what I want to say. That is, the idea is, even though Maga is a Maisa, but it's not a Hisaskos. Right? That's why you see like how Osek the Para.
Right. Even by the Veils of Tar is also the time begotten Bishas Bliasa.
Yeah, because that's because he's eating it. I mean, it's a...
It's good.
What's that?
No, I'm saying it's good. It means the guy's involved in something.
Right. In other words, in order for the Kalim to be Tomei, the begotten that he's wearing, it has to be that, I have to be explained why that should be, I mean, but it has, apparently, it has to be through his askus. Where if it's just the guy, it's just the guy passively, without his askus, so then the begadim are not engaged.
Right.
Why should that be?
That makes sense, though.
What's that?
It's good though, because it means that there's a gavra is a shame. I mean, the gavra is an osake, whereas if he just touches, there's no gavra. It just happens to be like in contact with him. That might as well be like an object who's touching it.
It's the gavra as a chafza.
Might as well just be like a couch, and something touches me,
Right, but the Gavra becomes an extension of the Gavra insofar as he's a Gavra.
You have to have a shame of a Gavra in this situation.
Right, maybe that's Merkav Azov also. He's sitting, He's involved in a...
I think Merkav and Mishkav Azov is a different idea, but we'll leave that alone. That's good. So it's Askos. It's Askos. It's good. Right, so now it's like this. Now the question is, why does it change over here? Why does it change with regard to Tumas Mace? That the Kalim themselves become a phenomenon. But of course, they become a phenomenon, but it's interesting. I mean, it has to be, they become a phenomenon through the guy. I'll mention something else that's important to keep in mind now also, which may or may not be, relevant to this stage of the analysis. But you have to realize that the transference of tumah to the kelim, let's say, to the adam, I mean, is limited to mag and masa. Oel is a means of transfer only when it involves the mace himself. There's no such thing as a transference via oel that doesn't involve the mace himself. And when I say the mace himself, I mean that also you have to understand includes kever, because that includes the mace himself. However, that's going to be explained. But in other words, it's you understand what I'm saying? In other words, if I touch a body, so I'm an avatuma, right? But I'm not metame the oel.
Right.
Or if a kli touches, you know, the mace, so the, and then the kli is removed from, you know, the from the mace, whatever. So that kli is not metame ba'olel.
Are you metame b'masa?
What do you mean? If I carry a kli, of course.
I'm saying without nugia.
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah.
But only a kli, understand?
Yeah, I was wondering.
I'm not metame. You can't be metame another person like that.
But no, I was wondering because we get oil through masa. So
the reason that doesn't work is because you can never have an adam to an adam in Thomas Mace. It's what Aaron, what I think, or David was pointing out before.
No, I was just saying in a normal case of adam to kli.
Adam to Kli is the Adam to Kli is the mag of Amasa.
Okay.
So the question is, the svara we had is a good svara, the Yisaskos. Okay, but the question is, so why it's like Zimmer said. So why, how come with regard to mace, all of a sudden the kelim take on significance unto themselves, so to speak? It doesn't have to be only when I'm wearing it. So I'm wondering, okay, you want to think about it for a second? In terms of masa?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like masa is going to metame in that case.
Which case?
The kelim which touched the mace.
No, that's not
the case. Kelim, well, the mace can't move. What do you mean?
Kelim touched the mace. Right?
Kelim touched the mace.
Then let's say now the person moves them.
That's not my case.
Wow. Kelim touched the mace. And the person moves them. So what?
So that's not tummy.
What's not tummy?
The person.
Is that the way masa works in general?
Yeah, I thought masa had to be the person moving the kli.
Yeah.
Because and
yeah,
he, no,
the
but
moves them.
Yeah, and he's the one who's giving it to the kli. Not the other way around.
No, usually the kli's here.
No.
If I touch a mate, my question
moving
was
the tuma. Usually you're taking the nevela and moving it.
The kli's an av, and if you do masa to
right, if you take it, so if you where do you see that, by the way? Yaakov, where is that?
Okay, at the end.
Okay, at the end. Interesting.
Wait, just factually, right? So if I touch a mace and then I pick up a kli, is that the same thing? I'm sorry. And move a kli without doing the gear. Is that
then the kli is tar.
Then the kli, so it won't go through masa.
Well, I mean, that's in general. Kelim never become tamei through masa because they can't act.
That really strengthens the guy question.
It really what?
Strengthens the guy question.
What do you mean?
I mean, Yom says you don't have masa because it's not mefurash.
You don't have masa by kelim because you don't have masa without the mace, and a mace can't do masa, right? Because not before. So therefore,
I mean, I'm saying it seems like the Rambam is not getting rid of Masabet because you don't have Sama Furish there. You do Zohel.
Right.
But you do have Mace. Goy is a Mace.
No, so it seems like he's dropping because since he lost Ohel and Mas itself is not open, so they didn't have Mas either.
So what's your question?
So by the Goyim, he lost the Ohel, so he should also lose the Mas.
Oh, that question!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just read there. I was openly saying in a case where he lost Ohel, you really do lose Mas.
It's not saying because well, you lost Ohel.
When it comes to Masa, you know, it's a different idea. Like when it comes to all the other Avos, it's the idea of Beferosh,
right?
It's something else. It's not clear if it's because you lose the Kal V'Chomer, or if it's just a direct reason itself. I mean,
no, he doesn't say. He just says the Masa is not Beferosh.
I mean, if it's losing the Kal V'Chomer, then everyone's question becomes stronger. If it's no question itself, then we just need to understand what kind of argument it is. Who cares?
He said the reason is because Masa is going to Kal V'Chomer.
Does he say that?
What does he say?
No, he says because not a foolish. Doesn't say because we're on Kal V'Chomer.
Wasn't it the same? That's
not. No. We'll see. Leave it alone. We can answer that question. It's not so difficult. We can answer that question. I don't think it strengthens the question. But leave that for now.
Okay.
So just one second now. So you only have Maga. If it doesn't involve the mace itself, you only have Maga. It was bothering me why the Rambam and the Perusha Mishnah kept on talking about Kalim Shenago. That's why, because you only have Maga. I'll tell you one thing, it shows very clearly that we were right. It's not a raya for the whole svara that we set up till now, but it's a good indication that Maga enters the realm of Tumas Mace. You know, it's different from the idea of simply a means of transference of tumor, like, you know, Mag and Masa. You know what I mean? In other words, it's Maga comes into the picture as a form of encounter based upon the laws, general laws of Tumor Vatara. But Maga and Masa are different. I mean, it's because Masa, I didn't say it yet, but well, I mean, we'll get to it. Masa is not a metame by mace because of encounter. It's a different reason, a different idea. And this really strengthens that notion. Do you understand what I mean?
Kind of vague, but...
No, in other words, I'm saying like this. It's not, in other words, the premise of all the questions that we started off with is, you know, so Masa's not mentioned because it's a Kal V'Chomer. If you know Ohel, you certainly know Masa, you know, like a comparison to Nevela. But so the implication of all of that is to say that Masa and Maga are equal. This is the two means of transferring Tumah.
Right.
Like they are everyone else.
Right.
But you see, it's not true. Who cares if it's Mefurish Bakasov or not? You know, if it has the halachic force of a transference of Tumah, then what do I care if it's Mefurish Bakasov? So I mean, Mefurish Bakasov, I mean, let me ask you a question. The Eva of Bas, is there any leniency with regard to the Eva of Bas because not in the first Bakasov? Is there any leniency to the Issa of Achilas Basu Bakalov because not in the first Bakasov? No! But over here, all of a sudden, there's a leniency with regard to Masa because not in the first Bakasov. What are you talking about? The Kabbalah Kabbalah! I mean, it's matana the masa, mace is matana the masa, just like the veil is matana the masa, just like other things are matana the masa. I mean, it's part of the force of Vilchus Tumah. But you see, it's not true. It's not true. The idea of Mefurish Bakasov as a factor over here means as follows: that when the Torah introduced Maga, it didn't introduce it as a force of transference of Tumah. It borrowed it from the idea of a force from transference of Tumah and adapted it as a definition of encounter. But Masa is a metame by mace, not because of the definition of encounter, but Masa is brought in because of a Kal V'Chomer from the world of Tumah V'Tahara, meaning Masa is metame because of a force of transfer. It's a different idea than Maga. So therefore, it's limited to its application. The application of Masa is limited.
I'll explain it better once we can differentiate between the difference between encounter versus, you know, a transference of tumah from the regular laws of tumah v'tahara.
Right.
But you understand the direction that I'm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, it's a little. You're saying that by masa, a person is no se mace, and that really is a transference of tumah. That's not because of.
That's not because of encounter.
So it's funny he's an av then, according to
you. I know. That I can explain.
Okay.
But I understand that. But before I get to that explanation, we have to go back to the idea of the begadim.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I tell you, let's stop here. I got to think about this. It's a good question. Maybe you can work on it during the week. I mean, the question is that this was a good svara, Moshe svara. It's a nice svara. You guys, a lot of people had it. I mean, the idea is like this: that masa, that the godim she'olav, you know, the shas tamaso. Is good insofar as the engagement of the gavra, because it's a kiyum gavra. But negiyah is not. There's no kiyum gavra really. So that's why that's fine. That explains that. So why don't we say that? Oh, that's exactly why, gentlemen. Okay. So the avoluda is a question. So why don't we say that it with regard to Tumas Mace, why don't we say the same thing? That the clothing that the encounterer is wearing will become an Avatuma only if he's wearing it while he has the encounter. Right. You see, while only Bishas Tumasa.
It's funny that it works in manga though now. When the Adam touches a Kli, so it becomes an Artame.
Right.
And now it's the
Amaga
again.
That's right. It's funny, because
now
it's not a,
why is that a
Gavra?
He's just touching a
Kli.
There's no
Gavra,
you know what I mean? He's just touching
a Kli,
and now it's
Begadim. Right, it's an irony. Right, you're pointing out, right, it is strange.
It's not really
Tumas Begadim.
That's what,
yeah. That's correct. Well, that's for sure. You have to make that step. It's not really Tumas Begadim. I mean, that's an important step to make. So the question is really, what's going on over here? What is it?
Right,
remember that whatever answer you come up with, it has to be within the framework, and you have to still be able to answer, well, let me put it this way, it can't contravene dealing with the issue of the strangeness of the seventh Tumah, the seventh Av, the Ribui Avos.
Right.
All right, we'll tackle that Belina the next week. Next week I'm in Far Rockaway for Shabbos.